You are now listening to the Hack My Age podcast, the show that brings you guests for the woman going through the menopause journey. I'm your host, Zora Benamou, a gerontologist, certified sports nutrition, menopause, and breathing coach. I'm the author of The Longevity Master Plan and the cookbook Eating for Longevity. And if you're a woman in perimenopause or postmenopause, check out the programs on the hackmyage.com website to biohack and optimize your menopause experience, because menopause is inevitable, but suffering is optional. So now please head on over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify to subscribe to the podcast and leave a review to help others find us too. This is a really important point because it costs nothing, but makes a huge impact for me to support a podcast from menopausal women to normalize this conversation about menopause and attract even more amazing guests to the show for you and for me. Hey there, biohacking besties. If you're navigating perimenopause or just dealing with those pesky menopause symptoms like hot flashes, fatigue, unexplained weight gain, you're not alone. I get it. The struggles with belly fat, crappy sleep, a racing mind, thinning hair, and that all too familiar feeling of anxiety or mood swings. Or maybe you've just experienced those mysterious symptoms like phantom smells, itchy skin, and achy joints. And these are all signs that you may be heading into the menopause transition. Yep, even if you're only 40. And it's not even rare to have these symptoms in your 30s, so just be aware. But here's the scoop. Menopause may be inevitable, but suffering is completely optional. You don't have to just tough it out because it's a natural process that women have endured for centuries. Yes, it's natural, but no, you don't have to tolerate the pain anymore. And that's why I've created specialized menopause biohacking programs just for you. This is not the usual recommendations like get a fan and dress in layers. We are talking about biohacks, which go beyond what most people even heard of to treat menopause symptoms. So head over to the hackmyage.com website and snag the Hot Flash program or the Energy Reboot program to hack your fatigue and optimize your menopause transition. And whether you prefer self-guided, affordable masterclasses or fully guided programs with a supportive community of women and me who are facing similar challenges, we have got you covered. Every Saturday of the month, we start a new cohort of women. You get an exclusive 10% off any program with the code HACKMYAGE. So got to act fast, especially if you want a spot in the guided program, because we keep it intimate with a maximum of 20 women to give you the attention you deserve. So don't let menopause dictate your journey. Let's conquer it together and head over to the HACKMYAGE website now and start biohacking menopause. You can now watch all of our podcast interviews on the Hack My Age YouTube channel. Some of our guests bring slideshows, so it's really great to have. Every week there is a new video, so just search Hack My Age on youtube.com or find the link on the Hack My Age website.
One last thing before we get started. If you're not yet part of the Biohacking Menopause membership group, you're going to want to jump in before the end of March 2024 because we have two offers. One is that we're going to have a giveaway with my favorite blue blocking glasses, Viva Rays, which is exclusive to our group members. And two, anyone who signs up to the membership before April 1st, 2024 gets a free private consultation with me. Now, the glasses are valued at $297 US, and a private consultation with me is $200. And the price of the membership, it's only $24.99. So you really won't find a better deal. So go to biohacking-menopause.mn.co or find the link in the show notes. Okay, now we can start the show. Before we start the show, I would love to remind you guys to please rate and review the Hack My Age podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. It really is a small gesture that makes a huge impact for me. It helps the podcast grow and get the voice of women going through the menopause transition heard out there. So thank you for you guys who've already done it. And thank you so much in advance for you guys who are going to do it for me now. So Mighty Networks is another great thing I'd like to talk about. This is where our Biohacking Menopause membership group is right now. You can jump in any moment, start now. We've got an amazing group of people who are sharing, supportive. We've got not only women who are going through the menopause transition looking for information, but we also have some experts in there themselves also helping the other women as well. It's just a great support group. And we have weekly meetups. We have live Q&As, not only with me, but also I invite guest experts in biohacking and menopause to go and answer your questions. Those are also Q&As for you. And these are doctors, for example, or just experts who charge $200, $300 per session. And we got them for a whole hour. So you send in your questions in advance and we go through them all together. So please join this group. It's really amazing. We would love to have you there. And it's a great way that I can give a little bit more personalized attention, because on Facebook, on Instagram, I get so many questions and I want to help each and every one of you. And it's really hard, but if we do it as a group, we learn from each other and I can really help you there. So please join Mighty Networks Mighty Networks is the platform, like Facebook is a platform, but it's called biohacking-menopause.mn for Mighty Networks .co, not com, .co. So go into that. I have a link in the show notes and you can check it out. And the last thing I want to remind you is that every month we have a new cohort of women going through the group guided menopause energy reboot program. And you're always welcome to jump in. We always start on the first Saturday of the month, and it's 4 weeks of guided menopause information where you watch videos and then you meet me every week to go through some questions and answers for you. And you can also just get that program and do it on your own. And we have hot flash programs and so many other things in the hackmyage.com website. So please go and browse there. So now let's get started with the show. Let me introduce you to Dr. Wendy Trubeau. She is a functional medicine gynecologist. And if you listen to her podcast, it's got a great name, Feel Freaking Amazing. You can tell that she is really somebody who's passionate about helping women optimize their health. And she even had her own struggles through mold toxicity and heavy metal toxicity, celiac disease. And she's just had so many health issues. And she's developed really an incredibly deep sense of compassion because of this. And her expertise as well has blossomed because of her own struggles. And now she knows exactly what her patients are going through. She totally gets it. And she's also the co-author of a book that I've been trying to get my hands on called Dirty Girl, Ditch the Toxins, Feel Great, and Feel Freaking Amazing. And we're going to have Dr. Wendy Trubeau on the podcast again after we recorded this. I had still had so many questions for her, and I promise you I'm going to take a deep dive into that book, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what's in there too. So in that book, you can pretty much guess that we're going to talk about toxins and detoxification in this podcast. We cover actually even a lot more than that, but she gives us some really great practical tips. I recommend that you get a paper and pen out, because she's going to name brands and things that we can get our hands on right away. Make sure you get that paper and pen. So you may have also come across some of Dr. Trubeau's work before, because she's been featured regularly in Mind Body Green and the Huffington Post. So you probably read her articles out there too. And Dr. Wendy is also on the faculty at A4M. That's the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. And this is an organization that's really always at the forefront of the cutting edge technology and science to really help us live longer, better. And she also gets to speak at these conferences. And now we get to have her on the Hack My Age podcast. What a privilege. So it's really with great pleasure to have with us Dr. Wendy Trubeau. Welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So let's talk about your specialty. Everybody's been waiting. They read the title and they want to hear more about toxins. And your specialty is environmental toxins. So specifically, which toxins are you referring to? Because there's so many. And how does it affect the health of a woman going through this menopause transition?
Okay, we'll get to the punchline first, right? So anything that stresses the system is going to throw the menopausal transition off. So that can be travel, that can be food, that can be a thought process, but then it can also be any of the fat-soluble toxins that we get exposed to. Especially think about, I promise I'll get to the answer in a second, but think about as you go through perimenopause, your estrogen swings wildly. So one day it's super high, one day it's super low, but either way, your liver needs to deal with it. But if you're getting exposed to fat-soluble toxins, your liver has to deal with your hormones, your toxins, anything that's stored in your system. And so it makes your transition worse because you're now having to deal with things you didn't have to deal with. It's putting more stress on the body. So when you ask, okay, what am I talking about? I'm talking about, I think of it as three different categories. There's heavy metals, that's lead, mercury, thallium, cadmium. There's arsenic. Those are the top five, essentially. And then there's mycotoxins. Those are the mold toxins that when they're in your body, they make mycotoxins and they can act as neurotoxins. They can make you lose your mind. They can make you gain weight. They can make you bloated. They can do all kinds of weird things, give you skin rashes. And then there's what I'll call the other category, which is all this other stuff around you, like your vegan leather chair. I'm sitting on a vegan leather chair. That's plastic. Vegan leather's all the rage, but it's plastic. The EMFs, the air quality, the water quality, the construction that you did and the volatile organic compounds in the paint or in the stains, the furniture that you got that has flame retardant, your bed with a flame retardant, pumping gas in a car, that is a toxin. Being in a car, there's 10,000 chemicals. So it's all of the things that we do in life, as well as the plastics, the food storage, the artificial colors, artificial flavors, dyes. So it's kind of nonstop and ongoing.
It's like we can't breathe and live in this world. And the first part of it is actually when you were rattling off all some of these symptoms that you may be feeling, I'm like, oh gosh, that sounds like menopause or perimenopause. So how does somebody know, is that perimenopause or is this heavy metal toxicity?
Yeah, it's hard to know. You have to essentially weed through it to see. So you can say, okay, generally you'll go into perimenopause around 45, but again, that's a bell curve. So then there's people at either end, but by the time you're 45, you're officially perimenopausal. And then the toxins serve to tank your experience, make it harder, make it worse on you. So you need to see a functional medicine doctor, right? So get your hormones checked, get your gut checked, get your toxins checked, check your lifestyle, right? If you are someone who prides yourself in not sleeping and drinking lots of alcohol and over-exercising, those are all going to take their own toll on your hormone balance also. So you can't look at toxins in a vacuum and say, oh, it's only the toxins. I have to focus on that. No, you need to focus on living in a way that allows your body to heal. Because if your adrenals are stressed going into menopause, your transition is going to be worse. So we really need to make sure that your adrenals, your liver, your gut are happy.
So then there has to be hopefully ways to combat that, because we still need to pump gas in our car. We need to, you know, we can maybe say, oh, I'm going to have, okay, I'll stop drinking or I'll stop partying at night. And you can, those are lifestyle factors that we can modify. But it's harder to modify people who, like, thinking about me, I'm a nomad. I'm traveling every 1 to 4 weeks in a new country. I'm like, what in the world is in my body? But there are people, let's say, who are flight attendants and that's their job. And how in the world are, you know, this is affecting our health, right? And so what are we supposed to do? How are we going to?
What's a girl to do?
Yeah. Because you think about those people who are just orthorexic and how just trying to be perfect and trying to be healthy. And I certainly don't want people who listen to this and go, oh my God, I got to like check all these things and do all these things that can drive them crazy. So maybe there's a step or a plan. And if a woman listening now is saying, you know, I've got these headaches, how does she know if it's her hormones? Should she start with, let's get her on some bioidentical hormones, and if they're still there, then perhaps it could be her gut. And then if that still doesn't get fixed, could that be the metal test? Like, you don't want to do these testing all the same time. It'll cost you a fortune and probably drive you crazy, no?
Yeah, so I'm a huge fan of approaching your health in a systematic fashion. And in fact, that's how I approach everything, right? I'm like, let's do this systematically. When I go to the grocery store, I don't wander around the store. I go in the same order every time. So this is just my approach to life. So what I would say is if you come in any phase of life and you have symptoms, certainly hormones can play a role, but that's not always the first thing I'm looking at. What I'm looking at is, what is your gut health? What's your adrenal health? What's your minerals and nutrients? Your hormones are part of that. What are you eating? Yeah. How are you living? Are you sleeping? Are you exercising? Are you stressing or not stressing? So I'm looking at all of you. And then we fix what's out of balance. And then if you're not amazing, then the next round is, okay, your environmental toxicants, including the metals, the mycotoxins, and the other category infections like Lyme disease, Epstein-Barr, chronic infections. And then diving more into, okay, your first look at your hormones was good. Let's take another look and make sure we're not missing anything. So it really depends where you are. So I tend to find that women, as they're getting into menopause, need, as they're starting the transition, they need progesterone. Your estrogen is maintained for most women. You still have periods. You get a period, you build a lining, but you're not consistently ovulating. And so progesterone is the first, and then layering on estradiol and estriol and potentially testosterone if they need it. But that's not always the first place I go to, unless their story is raging. Like, you know, I clearly have some type of hormonal imbalance, but even then I'm suspicious, because just drinking from a plastic water bottle, you're getting hormone disrupting chemicals. So when you said, what's a girl to do? You go, okay, don't let it make you crazy, but do systematically go, okay, what can I improve? As I run out of makeup or house cleaning utensils, cleaning products, dishwashing detergent, washing machine detergent, dryer sheets, whatever. As you're running out of something, that's the time to level up. And as you go through your year, you're going to systematically start to remove those things that are making it hard for your body to function. And so at the end of a year, you go, okay, you know, if you make one change a week, that's 50 changes a year. Mm-hmm. That's a huge change, right? So be systematic about it and don't let it make you crazy, but wherever possible, do opt for something healthier. So for example, I got my toxin level back and my toxins for gasoline were ridiculous. And I said to my husband, okay, well, I'm just going to pay someone to pump my gas rather than stand there and breathe it myself. And he's like, it's more expensive. I'm like, okay, pause. I'm spending so much time, energy, and money getting these toxins out of me that it has to be more cost effective to pay someone to not get it in me in the first place, when you sort of think about that. So pick the battles that you can, where you can, and try to minimize your exposure. You know, my family's like, my kid showed up from camp with this hard Nalgene plastic water bottle. They each had one. And I was like, say goodbye to those. You know, I threw them out. My husband's like, those are good for hiking. I'm like, so are the metal ones. He thought I was like evil. And I said to him, he's like, it's more expensive. I'm sorry, more heavier. And I said, we're talking like 3 ounces here. So when you're hiking, it's not a huge difference when you look at a very thin-walled metal water bottle versus plastic one. It's very small in terms of the difference. So I got rid of them. They were pretty ticked off at me, but I'm like, we're not keeping those. No, you may not drink from a plastic straw. Like we're gonna go for metal or glass.
Yeah. So it sounds like you make those little changes bit by bit, not freak out as they run out, get new stuff.
This episode is sponsored by Oxford HealthSpan, the creators of my favorite supplement, Primadine. I admit it, I am a total supplement junkie, but if I had to choose only one, it would be this one. And it's because Primadine is spermidine, and this is shown to activate autophagy, which is super important. Now, this is a cellular cleanup and recycling process that declines as we age. So as we get older, our cells accumulate a lot of junk and waste, which isn't good for our cells, our health, nor our longevity. So we need to clean it up. And if you want the research on this, go to oxfordhealthspan.com and you can see all of it, showing how spermidine supports our brain, our hormones, and our heart health. And another great side effect is stronger hair, skin, and nails, but also longer eyelashes. But, you know, the real important reason why I love Primadine is because I have never, ever received as much feedback on a product I recommended as I have with Primadine. Literally every week, someone reaches out to me on Facebook or Instagram with an amazing testimonial. And most of the time it's about improved sleep. And even some of you told me it's reversed a bit of your gray hair too. So I find that totally amazing. So I can honestly say with 100% certainty that Primadine is the best spermidine supplement you'll ever find. And you can try it with a 15% discount by using the code Zora, Z-O-R-A, on oxfordhealthspan.com. Just be sure to get back to me with your results too. Now enjoy the show.
Your makeup looks so good today. So if people are in YouTube, what makeup are you buying then?
Okay, so I have three favored brands. Okay, what's on Wendy's list? Okay, so if you go open up my closet, I should take a picture of my medicine chest. Actually, we just redid our bathroom. And talk about like make you crazy, right? Because there's things you can't use that there's things that they don't have that are natural. And so I'm like, okay, I got to let the bathroom off gas a little bit. So we used no VOC paint and no VOC glue, but then the grout was difficult to find that was sealed. Okay. Anyway, so I'll take a picture once I'm in. So the three favorite brands I use. So for skincare, I use Purity Woods. I use Vintage Traditions, which is a lotion, and I use Beauty Counter. Those are the three that I use for skincare. And that'll include like, you know, I have this little mole on my cheek and I'm using a thing from Beauty Counter to see if I can fade it. It's like 50% less at this point. So that's that. And then for makeup, I use mostly Beauty Counter and then Mineral Fusions. Those are the two brands I use for. So, oh, and then Burt's Bees for lipstick. I like the color.
Oh, so those they make lipstick.
They make lipstick here.
I thought it was lip balm.
It is, but it's like,
oh, wow.
So that's the one I use. And I, you know, I bought it in like a 4-pack. And so I have one everywhere. My husband's like, why are there lip glosses everywhere?
I love it.
So, yeah.
And eyeshadow is the same.
Eyeshadow, yeah. Beauty Counter. So I'll close my eyes. I have Beauty Counter Sepia and Ember. And then I lined with the Mineral Fusions, and then everything else is Beauty Counter, basically. So okay. The foundation, the cover up, the matte powder, so I'm not all shiny. That, and you know, here's what I did. I used to, when I would be on camera, I would go and get my makeup professionally done for, you know, the things that are docuseries, and I would always say to them, okay, teach me what you're doing. You know, so I got taught by makeup experts. So after like three times, I'm like, I can do this. I can do this. Right. I used to do surgery. I used to deliver babies. I can probably put makeup on. Like a little pep talk.
Well, I'm convinced. And I was curious. Yeah. For somebody like you, what brands are out there? I know it's like, it's a hard thing to say, but I just interviewed Dr. Christopher Shade, who you probably know from Quiksilver Scientific. And he told me, I used to live in Hong Kong, and he said, did you know that those whitening makeups, you know, anything that has a whitening ingredient is actually very toxic? And I think it was lead that I'm not really sure. Have you heard of that? It's the whitening ingredient is the one that's toxic. He said, stay away from that.
So the Beauty Counter one, I think, uses glycolic acid, and they test, and I mean, they're rabid about the stuff they don't use. I don't know about whether it, I just don't know the answer to that. I'll have to look it up.
I'll look it up and get back to me, because all my friends in Hong Kong are, I'm telling them, don't use the whitening stuff.
But when you say whitening, you're not talking about like a spot thing. You're talking about a whole face thing?
Yeah, usually in skincare, say you have a lotion or a cream or a face cream, the women there, so white is being more white, like Snow White is a social economic status. So you have the whiter the skin, it means, oh, you have an office job and you probably have more money. And so people want to whiten their skin. They wear umbrellas and gloves. Their skin is perfect. It's magical. I mean, there's not a single poor in there, but obviously their vitamin D levels are suffering, but they do sell a lot of products that have this whitening agent in it, because especially if you are an outdoor worker, I mean, if you're a gardener or if you're outdoors, then you want to pile the lotions on their face, and not only for hydration, but they also want to get a whitening, literally whiten any kind of sunspot.
Interesting. I mean, I think the thing you want to remember is if you're using products made in other countries that are not well overseen and certified, it often can be contaminated with heavy metals, artificial dyes, contaminants. It's not clean necessarily. So I think it's important. That's probably the takeaway, is understand what you're using and where it's coming from. That would be, I'll have to look up the whitening stuff. I don't use that stuff. Like, I just use glycolic acid. And it's getting short. It's getting quieter. You know, like,
yeah, it looks nice though. I wouldn't want to remove that. I think it's really cute.
Well, I was like, I don't know, you know, I don't want it to get worse. So let's get rid of it. So I'm working on it.
Yeah, no, that's different than the whitening agents. I can't even remember the ingredient, but look it up, get back to me, I'd love to know. And in your book, Dirty Girl, do you cover cosmetics from, and I know, just to know if there's a chapter in that book, if anybody's
listening. Not specifically, what we're talking about in the book are all the ways that you get exposed to toxins and how do you systematically, it's a roadmap, how do you systematically walk through your life and start to level up? Because you start with food and sleep and movement and thought patterns, because those are going to shut your detox down, you know, just like that. So we start with those things and then move on to makeup. And if you're getting a bed, get one without flame retardants. And if you're going to wear nice clothes, don't send them to dry cleaners because that's a chemical that you're absorbing. Try not to sit on vegan leather like I am. Our whole office has these beautiful vegan leather chairs. And I'm like, no cow was harmed, but these are vegan leather, which is plastic. So I try to have a layer in between me and the plastic. So looking, you know, we bought a leather couch recently. And yeah. So if you're vegan, you're not going to buy a leather couch. But we were like, she said, here's vegan leather or leather. I'm like, leather all the way.
So one question then about these toxins, and there's so many that you rattled off. And so I'm sure they're all probably a little bit different, but let's say the woman is going through this menopause transition and she's lost her hormones. And do you think she's more vulnerable to the toxins just because of the lack of hormones? Or has it nothing to do at all with it?
So getting exposed to toxins will absolutely make your experience of that menopausal transition worse because they're competing for the same. You have to process your hormones through your liver and your gut, and you process your toxins through your liver and your gut. So if you have imbalances and the liver takes a hit or your gut's out of whack, you will absolutely have worse symptoms. The biggest issue with the toxins is if you get a massive toxin exposure, or if you just really, not so much that it's a massive exposure, it's just that it's death by a thousand cuts and it's coming at you from all directions and your liver's like, oh, what are you doing to me? Then what happens is processing your hormones is going to take a back seat, and then you can develop an estrogen dominant state. And remember, your estrogen's all over the map during this age. So you're already at risk of estrogen dominance and fibroid growth and promotion of estrogen dependent tumors because there's all this estrogen and not as much progesterone. So in that phase, you're more vulnerable, and then the toxins make it worse. So it essentially magnifies anything you have going on anyways.
Yeah, I always sometimes describe menopause, or at least this transition, as, you know, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're absolutely, it's some, you hear a sound or you have a pain and or thought, and it's just exaggerated, right? It's, you're so blown out in your mind. And then the sun comes up and you're like, oh, it's not that bad. It doesn't hurt as much. It's kind of like that. You feel it's, everything is just a little bit more exaggerated. As we go through this transition, you think, huh, I was able to handle that stress a lot better than, you know, when I had my hormones than now. So it's always good. I think hormone balance is always really important. It's kind of like a part of the piece of the puzzle. And if it is a toxin that you're trying to deal with, well, by figuring out your hormone profile and getting that balanced is replenished is probably going to help the detoxification system of anything else if you have that going. And I'm assuming by the time we get to our 50s, we probably have some pretty high toxicity, you know, just from life as it is. It's that bucket gets full, you know, and starts to overflow. Would you look at it that way?
Yeah, 100%. It's like this perfect storm. So as you age, you get more toxic exposure. As you age, as a result, so you don't get sick because you're old. You get sick because your toxic exposure grows and your body burden grows and you get less resilient. So at the same time as we're getting less resilient as our bucket fills up, like you mentioned, you know, you think of yourself as a rain barrel and all of these stressors is filling your rain barrel. So then it overflows. At that very same time, your hormones are changing. And that change, because you're already less resilient and less elastic and less able to recover, that change hits us very hard. So 100%, you know, even just managing the adrenals and managing the toxic exposures can go a long way to helping your hormone balance, because you're not just drawing on the body and demanding it to perform, right? So yeah, 100%, you get less resilient at a time when your hormones change and your body burden goes up. You know, don't forget, in this age, often just from a developmental standpoint, the kids are older, so you can travel a little bit more often. You have, you know, your loans are paid off, and you haven't quite taken on your kids' loans yet. So you're at a place where you have more money, you can travel more, you get more exposures, maybe you eat out more, you buy more expensive clothes, like everything kind of changes at this stage, and we get more exposures at the same time we're getting less resilient. So it's not in our favor.
So you mentioned, when I asked you about hormones being the first place to go when you're trying to deal with removing toxins or trying to figure out if it's the hormones or the toxins. I'm wondering now if somebody, and you said no, it's probably better to deal with all the other things in the hormones later. If someone is, a woman is going, working in an airport, maybe with all this airplane fumes, or an interior designer working with a lot of new furniture, refurbishment of homes and paints and all that. If she were on hormone therapy, for example, which having her hormones sort of optimized, do you think that would see, I don't want to say protective, but just would she be able to handle toxins more because they are balanced anyways? Or do you think it's just, it's a drop in the bucket compared to what she really needs to do?
So here's the challenge, Zora. The hormones have to be processed through the liver. So if you have a very high body burden of toxins or very high exposure rate to toxins, and you layer hormones onto that, in a sense, you may make one component better. Like, you have to sleep and you cannot be a cranky evil witch, right? So it can help with that stuff. But if what you're doing is then increasing the body burden in general, what your liver needs to do, you can get into problems because to me, the crux of all menopausal issues is what I'll call the Holy Trinity, not the Holy, the Holy Triad. Because it's your adrenals, which will determine what your liver does, and the adrenal and the gut. So those three together work in symphony. And when they're thrown off, you're thrown off. So on one hand, yes, you know, you need to sleep, you need to have a sex drive, you need to have your vagina not hurt, you need to not have hot flashes while you're in a professional meeting. So all of those things hold. So dealing with the hormones is critical, largely so that your quality of life is good, right? But then you need to make sure that your liver and your gut and your adrenals are optimized, because if your adrenals are stressed, they're going to say to the liver, guys, don't do detox. And then you don't process your hormones properly. And then you wind up with an estrogen dominant state. And that's not good for you. And then if you're constipated or you're super stressed and you're not having regular bowel movements, then instead of pooping out your bound inert hormones, estrogen, you're going to recycle it and make, again, estrogen dominant. So I don't think you can do it in a vacuum. And in fact, when I start women on hormones, I'm insistent that they also start liver support and gut support. So calcium deglucarate and DIM are the two things that I pretty much insist my patients take, because I'm like, it's not enough to take hormones. You have to make sure that those hormones are going to be properly excreted so that we don't create an estrogen dominant state by giving you estrogen that's then improperly processed. So going back to the adrenals, if you look at that hot mess of the adrenal form, there's two major pathways. One pathway is fight, flight, or freeze. Your body makes cholesterol, then you turn it into pregnenolone, and then it becomes cortisol, cortisone, and aldosterone. That's life or death. You're going to maintain that at all cost. But if you have anything left over, you're going to head down the DHEA, testosterone, estradiol, estriol pathway. And so in a perfect world, if your liver weren't super stressed, and you weren't super stressed and your body functioned and you weren't getting deluged, in theory, when you start this transition, your adrenals would pick up the slack and make what's missing, in theory. In reality, most of us don't have enough bandwidth or resilience or elasticity left by the time we hit that phase. So the adrenals are like, what are you doing to me? I cannot pick up the slack. So for some women, even just starting with, let's get your adrenals supported, that can help with night sweats. If you have only night sweats and no day sweats, that's an adrenal issue. That's not a female hormone. That's an adrenal problem. That's your adrenal saying they're completely tapped out. So I think there's a lot of layers here, Zora. And I think hormones can be helpful, but as long as they're managed properly, because they can also be harmful if you take them, but don't optimize the excretion pathways.
Yes, exactly. That's the whole estrogen not being able to have that phase two detoxification, then just sits here, circulating in the body all toxic. And like if you were, that we definitely do not want to have. And so then you just, yeah, it could go completely the opposite way when you're trying to deal with airplane fumes and you got to get rid of your heavy metals or your mercury. And then here you throw on hormones on top of it. And if they're not done correctly, then yeah, it could be just double whammy. So I see your thinking now. It makes perfect sense. So you talked a lot about the most common types of environmental toxins, which it sounded like they were the mercury and the stuff coming from plastics and from our makeup and from paint and refurbishing. It was almost like the gasoline station. It can't be, it's really hard to avoid. But what would you say are the top three that we need to be most aware of? And then how can we lower our risk of exposure to those three?
That's not a fair question.
Oh, I know.
But okay, let me try to do that. Okay.
Oh, you can do more. You can do more if you want.
I know, right? I'm like, they all matter. So let's start with mycotoxin, mold. One out of every two buildings has had water damage in the United States and in other countries and other places where they're prone to flooding and don't have as good of an irrigation system developed, it's even higher. So I think mold is tremendous. And remediating it, ensuring adequate water flow, ensuring irrigation is proper, getting rid of it from the house or the building, and then getting rid of it from our bodies. That's huge. And then I would say probably, it's interesting. I'm waiting for studies to be done and then come out because in the United States, there has been a spate of wildfires. And when wildfires burn, the pine needle trees, they burn too, but those trees are responsible for sequestering, holding mercury. And when they burn, they release the mercury back into the environment. It gets airborne, but it's heavy metal, so it falls back to earth pretty quickly. And then it winds up in our land and the ocean, and then the fish take it up, and then we eat the fish, or then we eat the food that's grown on the land. So I think mercury is pretty high up there because fish and fillings, most people don't have mercury fillings put in any longer, thankfully. They've turned to composite. But if you look in your mouth and you have a silver filling, so basically if you're over 40 and change, that's around when they stopped putting them in, was around 40 years ago. So if you're over 40 and you have a filling and you look in your mouth and it's silver, that's 50% mercury. And it never stops off-gassing. Chew gum, drink, brush your teeth, grind your teeth, whatever, you're releasing mercury into your system. So I would say if you have mercury fillings, get them taken out safely with a biologic dentist, not just anyone. And then probably the third category would be the category that I'll call plastics. But that's a massive category. That includes the Teflon coating on our pots and pans. It includes the plastic we're drinking from and store our food in. It includes the plastic PFAS. It includes the things that make our clothes stain resistant. It's just this massive category. So I would say it's everywhere. It has shown to be endocrine disrupting. What does that mean? It means that it looks like your hormones. It acts like your hormones. You have to process it like your hormones. It binds to your hormone receptors tighter than the hormones do. So it displaces your hormones. And it generally acts as an imp, like just generally acts poorly. So plastics would be the third category that I would say. But there's so many more things. It's just that if I had to pick three, I would pick those.
So the mold I can get, I understand you probably feel it, smell it, you probably know it. You can even test it with a kit and then you get rid of it out of your space and deal with it, hopefully. Yeah. The second one, you said mercury. Many people may not know they have mercury toxicity. And so that one, you can say also, okay, get rid of your fillings properly and then don't eat so much fish or seafood. Like me, I have major mercury toxicity right now. Just found that out. And so I'm learning that. But so what does somebody do in terms of, yeah, if they find out that like me, they have this high levels, how do they get rid of it? Because it's not like, oh, just stop eating fish and it goes away, or does it?
Right. So there's things you can do on your own. So let's talk about the things you can do on your own. And let's talk about the things you want to do with a provider, right? There's lots of stuff you can do on your own. So first off, certainly getting rid of the intake helps. It doesn't help 100%, but you know, stop filling up your pump with toxins. So fish and fillings are the two massive forms of mercury. Let's use this for all of the toxins. So do your best to avoid exposure to them. Make sure you get enough sleep. If you don't sleep, you do not detox properly. That kind of makes sense to people, but you really, when you do slow wave sleep and when you get into deep sleep, that's when the cells in your body get smaller, the highway between them gets bigger, and you actually can drain your toxins. So if you're not sleeping, you're not detoxing. If you're a massive stress ball, you're not detoxing because you've shut down your liver, your adrenals, and your gut. You're focusing on survival. There is no thriving in survival. There's only survival. And detox is a thriving behavior. So when your body's thriving, you can detox. If you're in survival, you're focusing on just getting away from that lion. Moving your body regularly. Sweat, get sweaty. I know so many women are like, I don't sweat. I'm like, no, that's not good. We want you to sweat. You know, like, you need to sweat, girl. So get sweaty. Dry brush if you need to. Get in a sauna. Epsom salt soaks. These can all help, you know, get in a hot bath. You will eventually sweat. Steam, you'll sweat. People go in the sauna and they say to me, I'm so hot and I don't sweat. I'm like, you need to dry brush, exercise before you get in the sauna, take a bath before you get in the sauna, open up your pores. But dry brushing can often get people sweating. Those are just platform basic behaviors, Zora. And then I would do things like lots of green leafy vegetables. First of all, you're not going to harm yourself. Second of all, they're good for your blood sugar, give you the fiber. Fiber cleans the gut. Fiber binds to mycotoxins and metals and helps you move along the toxins that you're trying to get rid of. Minimize sugar, minimize processed foods. Those are their own forms of toxins. So don't add while you're trying to take it away. Manage stress. I think I mentioned that. These are all things that you can do on your own. You don't need a doctor to tell you to do these. You can take chlorella. You can take spirulina. You can do fiber. You can take N-acetylcysteine and glutathione. All those things you can do without harming yourself. I mean, no one ever took too much chlorella. I learned that it's good for cats. I give it to my cats every night. It's like the nightly ritual. We get into bed, we shake the bottle, they come running, we give them 4 or 5 tabs each, and then they go off and do their thing. And at some point they come back and sleep with us, but it's good for animals too. It's good for their coats. I'm like, oh, it detoxes my cats. So I know it's kind of weird. I first gave it to them and then looked it up and found out it was safe for them too. Don't do what I do.
So those are really simple and free. A lot of stuff is free and very easy, and that's really nice. Is it going to move the needle for most people? And then there'll be just outliers who need more?
You know, the challenge is that we're getting deluged, right? We're like standing under the waterfall and going, why am I wet? But it's everywhere and it's hard to get away from. So what it can do for a lot of people is sort of halt the progress of illness so that they don't keep developing it. If you're storing heavy metals in your system or you have a very high body burden of mycotoxins or plastics, it's probably not going to be the thing that transforms you, but it will certainly help you not get sicker, right? But then there's people who have amazing genetics. I don't have amazing genetics. If you're like me, you do all that stuff and it just keeps you from failing as opposed to make you thrive. So if you do that and you do amazing, cool, you don't need anything else. If you do that and you're like, oh, I still really barely am keeping my nose above water, then you need someone like me where you're going to look systematically at your gut, your liver, adrenals, your mineral nutrients, your hormones, your toxins, and then build a plan to systematically pull them out. You know, crawl, walk, run. People come in, they sit down, they're like, okay, I read the book, I want to do toxins. I'm like, cool, let's check your gut. They're like, why? Why are we checking my gut? I'm like, well, if your gut's not working, it doesn't matter if we pull all these toxins out, but then your gut recycles them. Like, let's make sure your gut's working first. So you do need to take care of the basic systems before you can do detox. Detox is a higher order behavior, and you have to deal with the foundations first.
That makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. And I'm assuming that this protocol that you just rattled off, all these things we could do, is the same thing for the mycotoxins, same thing for the heavy metals, and for the plastics, or because it's kind of a foundation. Yeah, and then kind after of, that, maybe you need more.
Oh, as a foundation, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely specifics to go for each of them, but as a foundation, all of that works for all of the toxins. And then obviously don't fill it up. Get rid of the plastic, get rid of the Teflon, get rid of the stain-resistant clothing, get rid of anything you can that is going to work in your life. You still have to live in the earth.
So what if they say they get rid of it? They've done that. So what is there something that you would recommend they do, whether it's taking a supplement or seeing a doctor or doing some kind of a protocol, an advanced protocol for the mycotoxins, the heavy metals, and the plastics? Like, what's the next step?
Yeah, you got to test it. You need to know what you're dealing with. So there's things that anyone could do. You're not going to harm yourself with glutathione, N-acetylcysteine, fiber, chlorella. You're not going to harm yourself. Those are gimmies, right? But then if you say, okay, how much do I have in my body? What am I actually dealing with here? So that's where testing comes in. So you test for heavy metals with both a baseline test. It's all urine. Test a baseline test just to make sure you're not getting an active exposure like the kids in Flint, Michigan. They're getting an active exposure to lead. So make sure there's no active exposure. And then do a provoked test. This is why you need a doctor, because you can't do a provoked test without someone prescribing this for you. And that pulls the metals out of where it's stored, your fat, your bones, your organ. Okay. So that pulls it out and then you pee it out. And then you test the full range of environmental toxins. Do you want me to tell brands or do you want me to stay away from that?
Yeah, no, definitely brands. I mean, I'm assuming this is on the US. So for the listeners in Europe and Asia, I'm not sure if they're going to be able to get a hold of it. But yes, let us know.
I'm not actually sure about that. I'll have to check. I don't know. Doctors Data is the company that we use for heavy metals. And then we use Great Plain Lab, which is now Mosaic. They changed their name. They got bought out. So we use them for mycotoxins and we use them for environmental toxins. And it's beautiful reports. It's easy to read. I'm sure there's other countries that have different testing capabilities. So I would work with a functional medicine doctor to find them. And what we're looking at is what's the highest priority here? Right. If we do, and you don't have to do all the testing at once. It's not like you're going to spend, you could spend $1,200 and do all the testing, or you could break it up and do only heavy metals or only environmental toxins or only mycotoxins and really focus your attention on one. Then there's pros and cons. It's more expensive to do it up front, but on the other hand, you get the full picture and then you understand what are you dealing with. So you can craft a plan that pulls some of the metals out and some of the mycotoxins out and their synergy. So what you're doing is covering both, right? Then you're like, oh, you know, I'm covering everything. By the way, you can also do cilantro extract. You're not going to harm yourself with that. So there's a lot of stuff you can do on your own. And then with the provider, you're going to craft a plan. You're going to be systematic and you're going to either go for everything or you're going to hit the highest issue first. And then when that's done, you're going to go to the next one.
How do you test for plastics? Like, what's the plastic load in the body?
Yeah, so it's through we are using the Mosaic test, the environmental toxins profile. And you can also use, I think US Biotech might actually ship to other countries. They also have a look at plastics and phthalates. And so you can just look at the body burden there, and it's low, medium, or high.
Interesting. And then that would have a separate protocol completely. Cause like when you say cilantro or the chlorella, then I'm thinking my brain is in the heavy metals. I'm not sure about the mycotoxins, but would that also work for the plastics or is that they got to take those people have to take something else completely?
Yeah. Typically different for the plastics. So N-acetylcysteine, B complex, glutathione, the nice thing about the environmental toxins is they respond to almost the same things that the mycotoxins and metals do. So if you're crafting a plan for those two, you're covering most of the environmental toxins. So that's really nice. It's basically about improving the liver's ability to detoxify. Right? So improving, think about what it needs in phase one and phase two. It needs the B vitamins. It needs glycine and glutathione and methionine, and it needs all of these substrates. So If you're supporting phase one and phase two in the liver, you're going to get rid of your plastics. If you're sweating and you're moving your body and you're not filling it up, right? You get rid of the plastic water bottles. Those cases of plastic water bottles are like nails on a chalkboard for me. When I see those cases, and we were in Peru 2 years ago, and all we did was drink from plastic because there's not a functioning water system there, right? You cannot drink the water. But I said to my husband, I'm going to hell for this one. Like, all I'm doing is drinking plastic. And I'm like the detox queen. And here we go. And I'm going to hell. And he's like, you're going to be fine, honey. You know, because it's, and then I ended up getting traveler's diarrhea anyway.
Well, it all like, comes out.
Here we go, you know.
Well, then there's, you got to hack it, right? This is offsetting. And that's what biohacking is about, is like during those situations, let's maybe double up on the glutathione or NAC or start sweating, exercising. Let's climb Machu Picchu while you're there. I guess that's the way to best support it. It can't be perfect, but maybe you can offset a little bit by doing some of the other things that you mentioned. And it's a temporary thing. It's not like you're right, drinking out of plastic bottles.
Exactly. But, you know, I was like, oh my God, all I'm doing is drinking from plastic. But on a daily basis, don't do that. Do that as a, like, you don't have any choice. You do it, but not because you're choosing.
Exactly. Okay. Good. All right. So let's move on to bust some myths about toxins. What are the myths you just wish would die?
Probably the biggest one that I wish would die is there's nothing I can do, so I won't do anything.
Well, I had my head under the wall, in the sand with the mercury. I eat so much seafood, which is, I just knew it until I said, you know what? I got to get this heavy metal test. I have to see. So there was one day I said, and that was me. I was like, I knew it, because you know that it's going to be high. You don't want to do it. But it's got to come one day or another. And luckily I don't have symptoms, but it's going to probably smack me in the face if I don't take care of it. So really important to get your head out of the sand, and you can do something about it.
But Zuri, you just brought something up really important. Most people aren't thinking about the consequences they're having from toxins because they don't think that they're from toxins. So hair loss, you know, as you get older, your hair changes. So you're like, oh, I'm just getting older. Or it's just a menopause thing. No, it's a toxic thing. Or fatigue, or weight gain, or poor brain function or brain fog, or difficulty sculpting your body. You know, you're not overweight, but you're having trouble building muscle, or osteopenia or osteoporosis, bone loss. These are all toxin issues, or eczema. People just aren't making the connection that all of these things are a toxic issue. So, you know, so you bring it up really nicely that obviously there's a component of, we don't want to think about this because it's a little bit scary. But on the other hand, there's so many things that toxins are causing, and we just chalk it up to, oh, I'm getting older. And I'm like, no, you're not getting older. You're getting more toxic. That's why you're having all these issues.
I agree. And the gerontologist in me is just wanting to bust these ageist stereotypes and these thoughts of aging. It's so ageist of us to think of these things, but it's true. We may say so often, you hear people say, or even doctors tell you, you know what, it's just normal aging, and I'm just saying, no, it's not normal. It's, from what I've learned in my studies, is no, it's common, but it's not normal. And that's what I'd love people to understand, is not just throw in the towel and accept this, because it's going to be a pretty rough road in a downward spiral for years, if not decades, of feeling pretty bad. And when you could feel freaking amazing, right? The title of your podcast, which totally everyone needs to go and listen to. And I've been binge listening to them, and I love them right now. It's just on my list. I love it. So is there any other myths that you'd like to bust?
Yeah. The other one is probably it wouldn't happen to me. You know, why would it happen to me? I don't think I have a problem with that. That's for someone else. That's not my problem. And then probably the third myth is there's too much to do. Right. I don't even know where to start. So I'm just going to ignore it. That's kind of like number one, though. But I think it's like, it's not happening to me. I don't understand why there's all this noise. I don't see what the problem is. That's a huge miss. It's extremely toxic. It's messing us up. It's directly implicated in heart disease, diabetes, metabolic disease, cancer, degenerative disease, dementia, and autoimmune disease. Like those are the things that it's leading to. And if you look at all the trend lines for all of them, they're all booming, and not in a good way. We don't want those to be booming, right? But they're all extremely prevalent and growing. It's because we're, you know, super toxic now.
And I often hear when I interview women around the world is oh, my grandmother lived to 95, or she's in all the women in my family, you know, live into their 90s and so, or don't have menopause problems, or don't have this, and they smoke and they eat whatever they want. So I can do this too. And I don't know, maybe not, but there's that same attitude.
Yeah, they didn't have the same body burden of toxins in two generations before. They did not have the body burden that we have. They had no plastics. They had no microwaves. They had no artificial colors or flavors. These are all marvels of the late 20th century. You know, basically after 1950, even 1975, the microwaves were not around in 1975. So we're talking about the last 25 years of the prior century. That's when all of this really came into use. And so our grandparents didn't get that. You know, they died from heart disease and accidents. Those are the big things that they died from. Now they're dying from cancer, diabetes, and accidents are way down the list. Cancer and diabetes and heart disease are like really the things that people are killing.
Yeah, cancer and heart disease are the big ones, and women just as much as men in that heart disease category, because when I grew up, it was, oh, breast cancer, let's all be afraid of breast cancer. And you're like, well, it's almost double the amount of people, women dying from a heart attack. And you just never made that association. So I really, I love to do podcasts on heart disease and bring this awareness, but there's so many other things. And I know I have to let you go in like 5 minutes. So there's two questions. I want to talk about your book. And I also want to talk about if there's any special diet or nutritional pattern that woman going through this transition now should try to correct any chemical or nutritional imbalances that are making her sick. And if you answer that question, we have to make it super quick because I want to hear a little bit more about your book.
Let's start with that one first. So I don't think that there's any one eating plan that's good for everyone, but I will say that there are common themes that run through it. So minimally processed, looks like itself. No artificial weird stuff that makes it stay on the shelf longer. So preservatives, colors, flavors, you don't need that stuff. And then when you look at your plate, most of it should be something green and leafy in the cruciferous brassica family. And then a small portion should be starch. And then a small portion should be protein. And then within that, some people need more protein and more starch, and everyone's different. But that your plate generally looks beautiful and that you can identify where it came from and what the ingredients are so that it looks like itself in life. So I'll say that about food. You know, eat food that's real, not too much. That's Michael Pollan.
Yeah. And mostly food, plants too. So I love that Michael quote Pollan. He says. I use that all the time. Love it. It makes it simple and easy.
And the cruciferous vegetables help you process your hormones properly. So there's really benefit to eating your way to health.
So that plate, to me, looks like salmon, broccoli, and a side of sweet potatoes, something like that, right? So easy. And that sounds delicious. So I'm really bummed I didn't get a hold of your book in time. And I wanted to take my own deep dive into it. And so I'd know what's in it to talk to you about it. But why don't you go over some of the things that you cover in that book and why should we get it?
Sure. So the book is meant to be a roadmap for you to start cleaning up your life and giving you back the tools to clean up your life. So it's not like some doctor out there has control over your health. No, you have agency and control. And here are the tools that you need in order to take back control. What do you need to pay attention to? What would we recommend you work on? How do you start to clean up your life? And I have read the book and feel like it's a little bit overwhelming at times. Like, oh, that's, I don't know, you know? So my response is, Rome wasn't built in a day. You're not going to be built in a day. Just go systematically into this. Don't worry. Don't stress about this. Just have it be, okay, I'm running out of this. I'm going to level up. Or I'm buying something new, so I'm going to level up. Whenever you're in a purchase moment, that's the time to pay attention to it. And the book is meant to guide you so that you're like, oh, I didn't even think about that. There we go. So it's meant to be sort of your companion as you clean up your life, clean up your water, clean up your makeup, clean up your clothing, clean up what you're cleaning your house with, all of that, systematically clean it up. And the book's meant to be the roadmap for that.
Perfect. I'm going to have a link to that book on Amazon. Are there any other places that they can get their hands on it?
They can get it through our website, but Amazon's the easiest, especially with most people, because you can have the it's on Kindle, and then you can get the hard copy if you want it. So Amazon's the easiest.
And if someone wants to work with you for detox support, can they do that? And where should they go if they can?
Yeah, our brick and mortar, we have two locations in Massachusetts, and that's fivejourneys.com. We take insurance. We have a membership practice, and people, my farthest patient is from Abu Dhabi, had a patient from Riga, Latvia. We've had patients from all over the world. And typically the first visit you make in Boston. So I do that, you know, not in the middle of winter. And then we can do the rest of the visits remotely once you establish care face-to-face. So we do we do everything. So that would be at fivejourneys.com.
Fivejourneys.com. I'll have a link to that also in the show notes. And so wonderful. So you can do telemedicine where people don't need to actually go in to see you first, or they do need to see you first in Boston if they're abroad.
Yeah. So we sometimes will offer group programs. We have group programs abroad that we offer periodically, a couple times a year. And that's designed to help you clean up your life, but it's not medical advice. So it's not specific to you. We're not doing the same testing. So it just depends. But that is a way for people to participate and not be part of the practice. But it's limited. We don't offer it that often.
Okay, great. Well, I'll have links. Anyways, people can go to the website in search and contact you. I'll have links to the book, The Dirty Girl, and then your podcast, of course. People should go start listening to that. Feel freaking amazing. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn. I have all of that in the show notes so they can reach out to you and learn more. And before I let you go, do you have any last words for a woman going through the menopause transition?
I have definitely words. Okay. One, don't let anybody gaslight you and tell you this is just normal and it's fine and ignore it. No, you're meant to feel freaking amazing even through this transition. I am postmenopausal and it's awesome. Okay. But so don't let anybody tell you that you're meant to feel cruddy. And two, sort of a corollary to that, you are meant to feel vibrant, vital, alive, healthy, able, and interested in intimacy till you're at least 100. And every decade is meant to get better than the one before. And if you're not on that path, let's get you back on that path. And going back to corollary one, don't let anybody tell you that you're not supposed to feel amazing, because you are. You're here to make a difference. So let's get going.
Thank you so much, Dr. Trubeau. And we will hopefully have you on for part two, because I still have a lot of questions. Have a wonderful day. Take care.
Sure. We'll do it again. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Today's episode is sponsored by the Institute of Bioidentical Medicine, which is the authority when it comes to understanding bioidentical hormones. And I just completed their menopause method course, and I am mega impressed. This is a self-paced course designed by Dr. David Rosensweet, who's been treating women through menopause for nearly 3 decades. And I can highly recommend this program, particularly if you're a doctor or someone who is actually prescribing hormones to women for menopause. So make an appointment at iobim.org to see if you're a candidate for the menopause program and ask for a discount with the code ZORA, Z-O-R-A. You're going to learn so much with this program, because menopause is inevitable, but suffering is optional.
Hey, did you enjoy the podcast? Don't forget to subscribe to be notified of all the new episodes and leave a review to help build the tribe. It's a small act of kindness that brings me big benefits and helps others find this amazing content. The best thing you can do is share. Sharing is caring. Statements made on this podcast have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Anything we say or products we mention are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Information provided by this podcast is not a substitute for personal medical advice and not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. It is intended as a sharing of knowledge and information from the personal research and experience of me and my guests.